Father, we thank you. Saints of God, lift up your hands everywhere. Lift up your voices. Let's begin to appreciate God. Let's thank him. Let's magnify his holy name. Let's worship his holy name. There is none like our God. He's a great and mighty God. He's the I am that I am. He's the same yesterday. He is the same today and forever. He will be God. He said, beside me, there is no other God. He said, I'm the first and the last, the one who knows the end from the beginning. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the one who was, the one who is, the one that is to come. The God that was never created, but he is the creator of all things. Lord, we love you. We give you praise. You are the breath, yes, that we take every day. We love you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. Thank you for forgiving all our sins. Thank you for forgiving all our trespasses. Thank you for showing us mercy. Thank you for being faithful. Thank you for being kind to us. We love you, Ancient of Days. We love you, King of Glory. Omniscient God, we love you. Omnipotent God, we thank you. Omnipresent God, we love you. Thank you for what you have done in our lives, that which eyes can see and that which eyes cannot see, that which have not entered into the heart of men, that which they have not perceived, that which, yes, even their hands have not handled, that which have not entered into their ears, that you have done for your children. Lord, we thank you. Give him praise. Worship his name. Adore him. What he says he will do, he has done it. Thank you, Father. Thank you, King of Glory. We worship you, Lord. Thank you, Abba, Father. Oh, King of Glory. Lead me at the altar with my Father. Lead me at the altar with my Father. Lead me at the altar with my Father. You reign forever. Your name is evergreen. Continue to worship him. You are the wisdom before time began. You reign forever. Your name is ever great. You are the wisdom before time began. You reign forever. Your name is ever great. We love you, Lord. You are the wisdom before time began. I know that you can save. I have seen you save before. But if you choose not to save, you are worth dying for. Worship him. Give him glory. Give him praise. I know that you can say, my daddy, I have seen you say before. But if you choose not to save, you are worth dying for. You are worth dying for. You are worth dying for. So no glory in this world, no greatness here for me. No glory in this world, no greatness here for me. No glory in this world, no greatness here for me. My great reward is you. I will trade you for gold. My goal is to see your face and hear you say, well done. No glory in this world. No greatness here for me. No glory in this world. My great reward is you. I will trade you for gold. Samson won't trade you for gold. My goal is to see your face. I hear you say, well done. No glory in this world. There is no glory here, brethren. No great place here for me. There is nothing we are fighting for that won't live here. On earth, there is nothing. So you glorify his name. Give him glory. Worship him. Give him all the praise and honor. It's only the living that can appreciate what the Lord is doing. The dead can't do so. Give him all the praise. The psalmist said, lifting up your hands in the sanctuary as an evening sacrifice. Lord, we want to remain a sacrifice on your altar every day. A sacrifice on your altar. A sacrifice on your altar. Every noon, every morning, every evening, we want to remain as a sacrifice on your altar. A sacrifice, not our will, but your will be daily done. Not our will, but your will be daily done. Not our will, but your will be daily done. Not our will, but your will be daily done. We look up to you, Father, in every situation. We look up to you in every predicament. Oh, Father, we thank you. We give you praise and adore your name. Thank you, Ancient of Days. And I pray that as your word come today, wherever any situation is in the life of any person that will be listening to this message, on and offline, King of Glory, I pray, let that situation be dealt with now. In the name of Jesus, I decree healing to that sick body. I decree restoration. I declare wellness. In the name of Jesus, you unclean spirit, I send you out of that body. You unclean spirit, tormenting that body, I send you out now in the name of Jesus. You are coming out of that body now in the name of Jesus. Yes, that blind eyes receive sight now. That deaf ear receive, yes, ability to hear now in the name of Jesus. The confused heart is receiving light for direction into the right path of life in the name of Jesus. Oh Lord, I pray, I decree and declare in this hour that all your needs are meant according to the riches of God in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Father. Your word as it's been spoken right now, let it meet every need, every spiritual need, every physical need, every material need, every financial need, every marital need. Let it meet all now in the name of Jesus. You are delivered from the spirit of anxiety. You are delivered from the spirit of depression. You are delivered from the spirit of madness in the name of Jesus. Because if the Son of Man make you free, you are free indeed. Therefore, I decree and declare this hour that you are free in your spirit, you are free in your soul, and you are free in your body. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Hallelujah. I welcome you all to this podcast again. It is the Lost Freedman Ministry, and it is your brother, your host, Samson, your brother. I've always be here from time to time in order to make sure that the message of God gets across to each and every one of us. And it is my prayer that everyone who have been following us in the different social media platform, pray that the Lord God Almighty will continue to enlarge your coast, enrich you, and do well to continue to share this link with everyone that come across your way. Yes, this Anchor podcast can only get across to people when we tell them about them. So please, let's endeavor to share with friends and family on Facebook, on Instagram, on Telegram, on all the platform, on X. Let's share with people. Let's share with people so that the word of God will cover the earth as the water covers the sea. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm going to be sharing with us today the message titled The Fruits of the Spirit. Hallelujah. The fruits of the Spirit. The fruits of the Spirit. Hallelujah. All right, turn with me, if you would, to the book of Galatians, chapter 5. I'll be reading from verse 22 to 23. Galatians, chapter 5, from verse 22 to 23. And now, verse 22, I will be reading from the Living Bible. I will be reading from the Living Bible. But when the Holy Spirit controls our lives, He will produce this kind of fruits in us. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And here, there is no conflict with Jewish law. The first question is, what is the fruit of the Spirit? What is the fruit of the Spirit? Hallelujah. The fruit of the Spirit is the outcome of the believer's life after he or she have accepted Jesus Christ. All right, the outcome of a believer's life after he or she has believed in the person of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Now, we can also define the fruit of the Spirit as the product, all right, as the product that is being manifested in our life when we have accepted the life of Christ into our own life. The products that comes out of our life when we have accepted Jesus Christ to be the Savior and Lord over our lives. Okay, those are the fruits. Hallelujah. Those are the fruits. Now turn with me to the book. We'll come back to this same scripture. You can just put your hand there as we turn to John chapter 15. Let's look at John chapter 15 so that we can hear what Jesus Christ said to his disciples. Now, in order to have a better understanding of this scripture, let's take it from verse 1. John chapter 15 from verse 1. I am the true vine, that is Jesus Christ, and my Father is the gardener. He loops off every branch that doesn't produce, all right, and He prunes those branches that bear fruits for even larger crops. Consider the word, the fruit. Verse 3. He has already tended you by pruning you back for greater strength and usefulness by means of the command I give you. Hallelujah. Verse 4. Take care to live in me and let me live in you. For a branch can't produce fruit when severed from the vine, nor can you be fruitful apart from me. Hallelujah. Verse 5. Yes, I am the vine, that is Jesus. You are the branches, that is we who believes in Him. Whoever lives in me and I in him shall produce a larger crop of fruit. For apart from me, you can do a thing. Are you seeing it now? So the fruit that we are going to produce there is the outcome of our life as a children of God. All right, the fruit there talks about the manner of life that we now live in our environment, we live in our society, we live in our place of work, we live in our school. And what are those fruits now? Those fruits are in Galatians. All right, Galatians chapter 5 from verse 22. We can see those fruits again here. What are the fruit? The fruit include love. All right, the one of the fruits that we are expected to produce as the children of God is what? Love. Okay, love. What is love in this case? What is love? And how does love relate to the kind of fruit that we are supposed to produce? Now, let's go to First Corinthians chapter 15. Praise God. I believe you are being blessed by this message. First Corinthians chapter 13. Let's look at verse 13, the last verse. It says, there are three things that remain: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is what? Is love. The greatest of these is what? Is love. The greatest among them all. Every other one is great too, but the greatest among them all is what? Is love. Praise the Lord. Is love. So love relates to the fruit we are going to bear, because the one who have begot us into a new life is loving. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ is love. God is love. Holy Spirit is love. So anyone that not bear the mark of Christ in his or her body must live a life of love. Jesus Christ said to his disciples, by these will men know that you are what? My disciples. When you love one another. When you love one another. So if you look at 1 John chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, chapter 5, the whole 5 chapters is built on love, telling the church that one of the way we will stay together, one of the way we will be sustained is by means of what? Loving each other. So that is why one of the fruits a believer is to produce after believing in the person of Jesus Christ, who died, who took our sins away, is that we manifest love. Now the question is, who should I manifest this love to? One, your maker. He said you must love the Lord your God with what? With all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And the next one is like the first one: love your neighbor as yourself. And the question is again, who are my neighbor? Your neighbor include those that are your fellow believers in church, and your neighbor also include those who are outside the church. They are your neighbor. Hallelujah. Those you work together in the same place, in your office, in the same school, they are your neighbor. So the same love you show to those who you fellowship together as brethren, as brothers and sisters in the church, you must also show that same love to people that are what? Outside the church. It doesn't end in the church. You take it from the church and take it to the world. That is one thing that differentiates between us and the world. The world doesn't have the ability to love because it has not been given to them. But to us, it has been given to us through what? The Holy Spirit. That the one of the proof that our life is not being guided, is not being controlled, and is not being directed by the Holy Spirit is that we love each other. Hallelujah. Is that we love what? One another. That is why if you tell me that you are a believer, one of the things I expect to see in your life, all right, the outworking of the Holy Spirit that you claim or believe to be inside of you, is that it must reflect in your love life. If you can't love, it therefore means that something is wrong. Because one of the attributes, one of the fruits, the product that is supposed to come out of your being a Christian is that you what? You love. There is no room for what? Hatred. Is anyone that hates his brother is in what? Is in darkness. Hallelujah. Anyone that hates his brother is in what? Is in darkness. Is in darkness. So we must love. Is a proof that indeed our life is not being what? Regulated by the Holy Spirit. So you can't have the Holy Spirit inside of you and not live a loving life. This is the life we have been called to live. What kind and type of life? The life of love. The life of love. The life of love. We can't live together backbiting. We can't live together keeping malice. We can't live together when we are unforgiving. A heart that is forgiving is a heart that is full of love. A heart that is peaceful is a heart that is full of love. A heart that is joyful, it is a heart that is full of love. A love, 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 love. Love towards God. And love towards our fellow man. Love towards God. And love towards our fellow man. Praise God. The scripture says, owe no man anything. Owe no man anything other than to what? To love. Are you getting me? So the proof that indeed your life is bearing fruits as a believer is that you love. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise Master Jesus. Now let's continue now, and that's in verse 22. As we look at we are going to look at the next one. The next one talks about joy. The next one talks about joy. All right. So just like there is love, there is also what? Joy. Now I would like to use I would like to read a place from Nehemiah. I love that scripture so much. Let's look at Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10, I believe. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10. Hallelujah. Praise God. Our God is a good God. Nehemiah is in the Old Testament. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10. Look at what the word of God said. It said, it is a time to celebrate it is a time to celebrate. I'm still reading with the Living Bible. It is a time to celebrate with a hearty meal and to send presents to those in need. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. You must not be dejected and what? Sad. So what take away being dejected and what take away sadness is joy. So the proof that there is Holy Spirit in your life and is finding expression in your life is that it must show forth in your life. I listened to a man of God the other day. He said a Christian can never be sad. A Christian should never be sad. A Christian can never be sad. A Christian should never be sad. You see? There's a life we have been called into. What is that life? Let's look at John in the New Testament. Let's look at John chapter 16. Let's look at verse 33, the last verse. Look at what Jesus Christ said. He said, I've told you all this so that you will have peace of heart and mind. Here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows, but cheer up, for I have overcome the world. But you be joyful. That's what he's saying. But you be joyful. And no matter what is happening around you, the test, the trial, the tribulation, the persecution that is going to come your way, be joyful. Even in the midst of all these things that will be coming your way. Even in the midst of challenges, the midst of all manner of confrontation, trials, tribulation, persecution, turbulence, and all forms of crisis that will be coming your way, he said, remain joyful. So what are your responses to crisis? What are your response to turbulence? How do you react to them? Jesus Christ was in the storm. It was not disturbed by the storm. What are your reactions when things are not going the way you want them to go? Are you still being joyful? Are you being joyful when things are not going the way you wanted them to go? In Psalm 119, verse 52, or verse 50 now, let's look at it so that we'll just have a proper quotation. John chapter 119. Praise the Lord. You are being blessed, I believe so. Hallelujah. Praise God. Psalm 119, let's see what is there. 119, verse, is it 52 now? Let's look at 51. Let's look at 50, first of all. Psalm 119, verse 50. There's something that I want to show you, which I saw some time ago. Okay, it should be 50. Psalm 119. I'm going to read with, let me read with the King James Version. Okay, there's something I want from that particular place that is not illustrated that same way in the Living Bible. So let me read it from the old King James Version of the Bible. Psalm 119. Let's look at verse 50. Hallelujah. Praise God. Verse 50. It said, "This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word has at quickened me." This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. All right, there are afflictions around, but your word had quickened me. I have been tested within and without, but your word had kept me. So how do you respond to disappointment? Are you do you easily get being carried away by crisis? Are you being overwhelmed when challenges of life come to you face to face? How do you respond to these things? Will show to me that indeed you have been with the Lord. You have been with the Lord. The joy that will be with you. That's why Jesus Christ always, one of the words that Jesus Christ always used for his disciples is that word, "Be not afraid." The only way you cannot be afraid is when your heart has been filled with joy. They are complaining in the country now that this is what is happening, this is a problem they are facing, this is a challenge they are having, this is a crisis that is before them. What are your responses to what they are saying? Are you confessing like them? If you are confessing like them, it therefore means that there is no joy in your heart. So a Christian should never be sad. Hallelujah. Praise God. I believe somebody is being blessed today. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now let's go back using our Living Bible. The next one is peace. Hallelujah. The third fruit of the Spirit, the third fruit of the Spirit is what? Is peace. That is the third thing, the number three thing that your life is supposed to produce as a believer is to live what? A peaceful life. For your heart to be filled with what? Peace. Now let's look at Philippians. Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. He said, "If you do this, you will experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. His peace will keep your thoughts and your hearts quiet." You see, so if your heart is being disturbed, your heart is being troubled, you are being carried away by the stormy winds of life, it's because your heart is not filled with peace. When you are being carried away by the news you have heard, or the newspaper that you read, or things that are happening around you that you can see, that your heart begin to fail you. He said it's as a result of the fact that peace is not in your heart. And the proof that you are in God and you carry the life of God in you is that you manifest peace inward and outward. Alright, his peace will keep your heart, your thoughts, look at it, your thoughts and your hearts quiet, at rest, as you trust in Christ Jesus. He said, "Come unto me, all you that are labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Alright, he said, "Let not your heart be troubled." In John chapter 14 from verse 1, "Let not your heart be what? Troubled. Believe in me, believe in my Father, and also believe in me. For in my Father's house there are what? Many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you." So take away fear from your heart. The enemy of peace is fear. Many of them didn't enter the promised land because their peace was taken away. Those that were sent to Jericho to go on the 12 spies, 10 of them came with negative what? Negative report. Apart from Joshua and Caleb, who were on the positive side, who were on the side of the Lord. By their news, they weakened the heart of the whole camp. Peace was taken away from their heart. Peace is a state of quietness, a state of rest. Just like we have joy too. Joy is a state of happiness, the state of absolute trust, the state of absolute gladness, the state of trust in God and His promises. Now here, peace is what? Rest in your soul. 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 When the news came to Job, what a man, what a man. May we also have that same grace to be able to stand, you know, even in this trying time and in these last days that we are in, where the things of the world is being celebrated more than the things that is in the kingdom. When those who are even in the kingdom are leaving the kingdom for the things that are in the world. What a man, Job. Job. Look at what Job said now. It's a part I would like to read now. Now, this was a time that the wife was trying to tell him to insult God and then die. Job chapter 2. There's a part there I want to read to us. Now, from verse 9, he said, his wife said to him, are you still trusting, are you still trying to be godly when God has done all this to you? Curse him and die. Verse 10, but he replied, you talk like some hidden women, or woman rather. You talk like some hidden woman. That's those who don't know God. What shall we receive only pleasant things from the hand of God and never anything unpleasant? So in all this, Job said nothing wrong. You can see, it was a man that was still righteous. A man that found peace. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were thrown into the world, the fiery furnace. Why in the fiery furnace? They were at peace. Daniel was in the lion's den, peace. And there is peace that surpasses all understanding. Just like the King James Version said, there is a peace. Peace. The state of rest. The state of rest. The state of rest. He said, you will lead him in perfect peace. Him whose heart he stayed on you. Is your heart stayed on God? So the number three thing to prove that indeed your life is bearing fruit. What type of fruit? The fruit of the life that is spirit-filled is that you live in what? You live in peace. I'm not being tossed to and fro by what is happening around you. No, 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 no. You are being peaceful. Being peaceful. Matter the challenge, matter the circumstances, you remain calm. The next one is patient. What is patience? Patience is endurance. What is patient? Patient is long suffering. What is patient? Patience is perseverance. What is patient? Patience is the ability and tenacity to continue despite all the trials, despite all the confrontations, and despite all the barriers, you still continue. That is patience. You still will continue. Now let's look at something in James chapter 2. You know, I love to read the scripture because every time I read it, it gladdens my heart. James chapter 2. Let's read from verse 1. Or chapter 1, rather. Let's look at chapter 1 from verse 2. chapter 1 from verse 2. James chapter 1 from verse 2. We are still reading from the Living Bible. Dear brothers, is your life full of difficulties and temptations? Then be happy. For when the way is rough, your patience has a chance to grow. So the devil means that believers are not to run away from trials. So when you go through tough times, when you go through temptations, when you go through disappointments, when you are being rejected, when they publish negative information concerning you, he said, what is happening is that your faith is turning out to become a better one through patience. My God. My God. When you are being blackmailed, you don't retaliate. When they call you all sorts of names, you are not bothered. You are not disturbed. When they nickname you, it's not a burden to you. When people are getting married and it look like as if your time is already coming to an end, you are not disturbed. My God. When people are leaving the church to go into the world and commit themselves into different dubious acts so that they can make money and you remain in the kingdom, he said it's a proof that your faith has been refined. And you are not living a life of patience. Today, you know that one of the things that is not in the world today is what? Is patience. Patience is one of the greatest virtues in this pursuit of the life of God in Christ. Hallelujah. When people are stealing, they are looking for better way to build a house. They are looking for quicker way, rather, to build houses, to buy cars, and do all manner of things. And they are stealing in the office, inflating the prices of things that are different from the original prices, just to make sure that they are able to cut corners and put some money in their pockets. And you are not doing it. And it looks like as if you are a fool and you are going to die poor. And you said, let me remain like this. Then you are a man of patience. You have been tried. You have been tested. Then your patience have come alive. Patience. No man, no woman in this kingdom can get anything from God who is not patient. No. No. You can't. And let's look at Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12. Hebrews 6, 12. Let's see what the word of God says there. He said, then, knowing what lies ahead for you, you won't become bored with being a Christian, nor become spiritually dull and indifferent. He said, but you will be anxious to follow the example of those who receive all that God has promised them because of their strong faith and patience. Strong faith, great faith, is built through patience. Many are wondering why I believe I'm trusting God for this and it's not coming to pass. Pastor, I trust God. I believe God. That God, I'm holding up to the promises of God. But the problem they have is that they have alternative. Alternative weakens faith. Alternative render patience useless. That is the thing that they don't know. Your patience means that you have no alternative. Patience means that there is no alternative. Come rain, sunshine, there is no alternative. God is either you give it to me or let me never have it. Follow those who have endured true patience. Many of them, they enter the promised land. Why? Because of impatience. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. When it seems you are defeated and you take the shame, And originally, in the eyes of God, you are not being defeated. But in the eyes of men, it may look like as if you have been defeated. And everybody is laughing at you. And everybody is mocking you. And you are not disturbed by it. Then, your life can be used by God. Many of us, the reason why our life can be used by God now is because we are not patient. We are not patient. Look at the next one. May the Lord help us. The next one is kindness. What is kindness? Kindness is mercy. What is kindness? Kindness is ability to what? The ability to show mercy to others. Ability to be merciful. He said, I will show mercy to the one who is merciful. He said, those who are merciful will also what? Obtain mercy. Matthew chapter 5. Hallelujah. So the proof of that another fruit that is being produced in your life as a believer, as one who is trusting and following hard after God, is that you show mercy, is that you are kind. Ability to show mercy. Ability to share with others. All right? The ability to give away without thinking about it. Or thinking about how you are going to get it back, how you are going to receive it back. Because what we do today and they teach us to do in church today is that when you give so that God can give you back. So you are more or less like you are investing. You give to get. Forgetting that God said in His word, in the book of Acts, that it's more blessed to give than to what? To receive. So you give, not because you are expecting anything. And no one who have given with the consciousness of giving. Alright? With the consciousness of giving that God had never rewarded. So while they were giving, they weren't giving primarily because they want to get. All those that were giving because they wanted to get it, today had never received anything. And now they are disappointed at God. Because their motive was never right from the onset. May the Lord help us. Praise God. Kindness. There is one song by Spencer in those days. It said, show little what? Kindness. Kindness is even hard in our world today. Why? Because of a lot of conspiracies. Why? As a result of what? As a result of different superstitious beliefs that people are carrying up and down in their mind. So if you show mercy, you will also obtain mercy. So the proof that life you are not living in is that it show out in your life. And we can also connect this back to love. Those who are loving will be kind. Then the next one we'll be looking at here, we are going to be looking at goodness. We are going to be looking at goodness. Anyone who is good will always publish good things. What does it mean? What does goodness mean? Goodness here means what? Ability to live a decent life. Ability to stay pure. Right? Ability to maintain a good living. The ability to live in integrity. Ability to be honest. Hallelujah. Ability to be different from the multitude. Ability to be different from others. 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 Ability to please God and not to please men. This is striving to please God. Ability to strive, do all you can to please God and not to please men. But to please God. But not to please men. Hallelujah. Praise God. The Lord is good. And that will now take us to what we call faithfulness. Faithfulness means absolute trust in God. Faithfulness means absolute trust in God. So the proof to us that you are now a genuine and a sincere follower of God is that you seek the face of God over everything. When you still have alternative, or when you are still working with your natural mind, with your human wisdom, it therefore proves to us that you have not yet died. For everyone who have died, they have lost trust and hope in themselves, so they trust now fully on God, who is able to save them. While Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego were in the fiery furnace, they weren't trusting in themselves. They were being faithful to God, who said that I will what? Save you. Even when you walk through the water, it won't overflow you. When you go through the fire, they won't burn you. They were fulfilling that word of God in Isaiah 43. When you are still trusting in your own human accounting system, human calculation, therefore you are not yet dead to all your personal ambition. When you lose your ambition, so that you can run after the things of God, then you have been faithful. When you don't bow to what the world is bowing to, so that they can get what they want, then you are being faithful. When you put God at the center of everything that you do, you consult and make sure that you put God first, then you are a faithful man. You are a faithful woman. The next one is gentleness, which you can also call what? Meekness. You must be humble. Gentleness. No believer must be riotous. No believer must be a fighter. No believer talks anyhow. No born again believer whose life is bearing this fruit that must not be gentle. Must be gentle. Why? Because the life you were once living was controlled by the devil, but now you are not living the real life. This real life that you are not living is in Christ. Therefore, Christ was never a factor. You were humble. Christ was humble. Was humble. Now we can see that in Philippians. Let's look at Philippians here now. Hallelujah. I believe somebody's been blessed today. Philippians. Let's take it from verse 5. Philippians 2 from verse 5. It says, your attitude should be the kind that was shown us by Christ, by Jesus Christ, who though he was God, did not demand and cling to his rights as God, but laid aside his mighty power and glory, taking the disguise of a slave and becoming like men. And he humbled himself even further, going so far as actually to die a criminal's death on a cross. You see, a gentle, a humble man, he was led to the slaughter before his shearers, and he never opened his mouth, according to Isaiah 53. He never opened his mouth, so he endured the process. He went through all the process in meekness. Now, concerning Moses in the Old Testament, the Bible said in his day he was the meekest man on earth. He was a gentle man on earth. He was the most humblest man on earth in his time. There's no room for contention. You don't contend with people over anything. You are just gentle. To them, it looks like foolish. Why are you not retaliating? Why are you not, you know, why are you not fighting over things? But you just say, you let them go. Say, forget about it. No problem. You can go away with it. I'm not disturbed. There's no problem at all. When you still believe that your strength is what can sustain you in life as a believer, then you are not humble. And Christ have not dealt with you as he should, because you have not aligned to do so. Hallelujah. Praise God. Then that will now take us to the last one. The last one here in Galatians chapter 5 is what? Self-control. Self-control. Some scripture will say discipline. Okay? Self-control. Let's look at self-control in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 from verse 26. Let's see. Let's see from verse 26. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 from verse 26. It says, so I run straight to the goal with purpose in every step. I fight to win. I'm not just shadow boxing or playing around. Like an athlete, I punish my body. That punish my body means that it puts itself under control through through discipline. Treating it roughly, training it to do what it should, not what it wants to. See? Because if you don't put yourself under control, it will do what you don't want to. Otherwise, I fear that after enlisting others for the race, after preparing other people for the race, I myself might be declared unfit. And ordered to stand aside. You see, a life that is not disciplined, that's the outcome. When you don't live a disciplined life spiritually, physically, financially, materially, maritally, then you are bound to move from one level of crisis to another crisis time after time because you have refused to what? Live a disciplined life. We have been called not into life of impurity, the Bible said, but we have been called into life of what? Purity. We have been called into life of righteousness and not into life of unrighteousness. We have been called into light and not into the kingdom of darkness, but into the kingdom of light. Therefore, we must forsake the things we used to do before for the things of Christ. What is discipline or self-control? Self-control means the ability to ward, the ability to forsake your own desire for the things of God. Right? The ability for you to forsake the things that your desire, your pleasure, forsake them so that you can please God. That is what self-control is. Right? Things that would have originally pleased your soul, that would have originally make you feel cool and relaxed, you now sacrifice them for God. You sacrifice them for God. You sacrifice them. What are the areas that you can be disciplined? Discipline your tongue. What are the areas you can be disciplined? Discipline in your eyes. What you watch, what you see. Where can you be disciplined? Discipline again. Be disciplined in your ears. What do you hear with your ear? What do you listen to? What do you watch with your eye? What do you eat or see with your mouth? These are the things that can either build you up or destroy your life. May the Lord help us in Jesus' name. Now, while still in that same Galatians chapter 5, let's continue to read from verse 23. Alright? From verse 23. It says, gentleness and self-control, which I just explained now. I said, and here there is no conflict with Jewish laws. Why were they having conflict with the Jewish law? Was because none of these things were finding expression in their life. So they were trying to do it with their own human strength. They could not. Because these things we are talking about here as fruit of the Spirit, it is the Spirit that will quicken them in you to the level which you have made yourself available for its use. The Holy Spirit won't force itself on any man. So when you get yourself prepared and you say, Lord, use me. That's why we always pray that prayer. Lord, use me. I'm available for you. It's only those who are available that can manifest these 9 fruits. Hallelujah. May the Lord God help us to be among them in Jesus' name. Now look at verse 24. It says, those who belong to Christ, you belong to Christ now, have nailed their natural desire, their natural evil desires to his cross. Which cross now? Cross of Christ. And crucified them there. If we are living now by the Holy Spirit's power, let us follow the Holy Spirit leading in every part of our lives. Then, in 26, the last verse, we won't need to look for honors and popularity, which lead to jealousy and hard feelings, which is vainglory. Hallelujah. When you are gentle, you are humble, there is no need for vainglory. Whether they identify you, they didn't identify you. Fame is not your problem. Being known. Well, that many people are struggling for today. They didn't identify me. They didn't identify with me. Don't they know that I'm here? A lot of unknown dignitaries, the dignified positions that people are fighting for, which ought originally not to be so with those who are in church. But on the contrary, that is what we are having. My prayer for everyone who have been a part of this from the beginning, who have been listening, and those who will listen to this message again in the future, I pray that by this, O Lord God, you will speak to them, minister to their heart, and give them what? A better life, a better look, better relationship with the Holy Spirit, so that their life will continue to manifest all of these things we have made mention of, from love to self-control. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. God bless you, brothers and sisters. Thank you for joining us today. Have a nice day. Be blessed.